Oh, I am so glad that you are here with us today. It's an awesome day. We do these a couple times a year. We focus in and we celebrate baptisms with people, and it means the world to me. I so enjoy it. Let me just say this. If you are a friend or family that came with somebody who's getting baptized today, and maybe you come along even though you don't really believe all of what they believe, or maybe you have a slightly different belief system, or I don't know, you don't really know what all this is about, but you're, you know, son or daughter or mom and dad or cousin or friend or whatever it is, and you came to support them, I just want to celebrate you. Can we give a round of applause for anybody who's here to do that? When I see that, it warms my heart, because that's what friends and family are supposed to be. If you have to agree on everything with your friends and family, guess what? You're not going to have any friends and family. We have to work past some of those details and continue to love each other, and that's so important for us, and you typify that if you're here today. So today we're celebrating baptism, and depending on what your background is in regards to faith, that could mean a whole lot to you, or it could mean very little. You might have a lot of information and knowledge on what baptism is, what all this is, or you might be very confused, and you're like, there's a pool on the stage, I don't understand exactly what we're doing here, right? So I want to make sure we're all on the same page today, that when we watch baptisms, we all watch it with the same mindset. So I just wanted to put us in the right mind before we do this. So the word baptism actually comes from an ancient word, baptizo, which basically means to completely submerge in water, basically. Like when a boat would sink, they would say it was baptizo, that it went underwater. It was completely submerged with water. And that's the same thing we're doing today. We're going to take these people and we're going to dunk them under this water. So the word baptism literally just means underwater, submerged. But why that has influence and meaning in regards to us as a church that follows after Jesus is because Jesus interacted with the action of baptism while he was here on earth. It actually, for us, as far as us as a church, we're not a very religious church. We always joke around about that. We're an irreligious church. But we're fascinated by this man named Jesus. And if you've heard of him, he's a pretty big deal in the Christian world. I've noticed this, right? That's a joke. You can laugh if it's funny. But when Jesus was here on the earth, there was a guy who walked around with him. He followed him, and his name was Matthew. And he wrote down eyewitness account of what Jesus did. And he actually writes down two different times in which Jesus interacted with baptism. And what it is first of all, he shows that Jesus was baptized himself. And then later on, before he left, he actually asked his followers that as they go and as they spread the gospel, for them to baptize. So he not only does it, but he commands it. I want to show them to you really quick. Matthew 3, 13 through 17, Matthew captures this. He says, "Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John." That's the guy known as John the Baptizer. "But John tried to talk him out of it. He says, 'I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you,' he said, 'so why are you coming to me?' John realized that this was the Son of God. He thinks, 'You want me to baptize you?' Right? He's like, 'Oh, you should be baptizing me.' Jesus says, 'Well, it should be done, for he must carry out all that God requires.' So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy.'" So we see Jesus was baptized. He's submerged in the water, brought back up. In fact, it's a really, really special moment in the Bible. There are very few moments that we see in the story where people actually noticed all three persons of the Trinity were in the same place at the same time. It's pretty dramatic, to be honest with you. But so Jesus did it. And to be honest with you, that would probably be enough for a lot of people who follow Jesus, us who point to him as our Savior. If we just said, "Hey, Jesus was baptized when he was here on earth," we'd probably say, "Well, maybe we should be too," because what we try to do is pattern our lives after Jesus. And we say, the things that he did, we're going to try to become and try to do. But it wasn't just that. Matthew captured that after he was baptized and after he spent a few years on the road teaching, preaching, after he was captured by the other people like the Jews and the Romans, that actually they crucified him, after he died, after he was buried, 3 days later shows up, right? Surprise, everybody's terrified and freaked out. Jesus is back from the dead. After all of that, before he ascends to heaven, that he actually tells the people who are around him, "Here's what I need you to do." And it's called the Great Commission. That's what a lot of people call this in Matthew 28. And he turns to his followers. He says, "Before I leave, let me give you kind of my final wisdom, my final parting command to you of what I want you to do." And listen what he says in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. "Therefore, Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus says, what I need you to do now is I need you to go all over the world. And I need you to explain who I am, the fact that I really am the Son of God, what I did with my death and my resurrection. Give them the eyewitness accounts. And then when they believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to follow after the wisdom that I gave you. He says, that's kind of your command. He says, don't worry, even though I'm leaving bodily, I'll be with you through it all. So for us who follow after Jesus, we say, we follow in line with those disciples. The disciples are following Jesus. They started the church. We're just an expression 2,000 years later that's still doing the same command that he gave to those people who are following after him. So that's why for us as a church, we're passionate about baptism, because baptism isn't a religious thing. Baptism is a Jesus thing. Jesus did it. He instituted it. He asked us to do it. So we're going to do it. But it's actually even bigger than that. So what I want to show you today is that baptism is a symbol for what God has done inside of us who come and meet with him. Baptism is this amazing, living, kind of active display and symbol of what God has done inside of us when we've put our trust in him. In fact, Paul, a follower of Jesus who was baptized himself, he wrote to the church in Rome and he explained what this looked like, because he kind of wanted to break out, what does all this relationship with Jesus look like after you've been baptized and you're following him? And he describes this symbol of baptism in Romans 6, 3 through 8. Here's what he says. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. He says there's something a lot bigger to this whole situation than just I did it and I told you to do it. It's this symbol of everything that happened inside of you when you put your trust in Jesus. See, the way the Bible puts it, the way the story of the New Testament puts it, all these people who interacted with Jesus, who learned from him, who followed after him, they point towards the idea that humanity is broken. That we all have sin inside of our life, which is basically missing perfection, that we don't add up to perfection. Of course, all of us know this is true. We don't live up to our own standards, let alone God's standards. But he says the problem with this missing perfection is God is perfect. And when we miss perfection, what happens is that creates separation from us and God. In fact, the way the Bible puts it is basically the idea that that sin, it's what leads to death in our life. And the reason why Jesus came to this earth was the greatest rescue mission in the history of the universe. It was to restore this relationship. In fact, Romans, that same book that Paul wrote to the church, he described this just a few chapters earlier. In Romans 3, 23 through 25, he says this, "For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight." I mean, how amazing is that, right? It says he did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. And we'd say, well, how is that possible? Did God just turn a blind eye to our sin? Well, he couldn't do that because he would be a bad judge then. You have to still bring justice, right? It says, no, verse 25 explains that. "For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin." You see, the whole story is that we all fall short of the glory of God, but the problem with that is that brings death into our life. And that's really what started the fact that we have this only a short period here on earth. But these words point to the idea that it's not as though just because we sinned here on earth, we die here on this earth. They say the sin problem is actually a soul problem. It's not a body problem, it's a soul problem. So when the end of this body comes, of course, yes, there's death. But because sin is a soul problem, we continue to die after we leave this world. That we don't just die, we go into continuous death. And that's terrifying. That's terrifying. If it wasn't for the fact that God said he recognized that, and that's why Jesus came. You see, the reason why Jesus came is because the only person who could satisfy all of that missing the mark, the only person who could set that right is God himself. We couldn't earn our way back to it, and that's why Jesus came. That's why God, in person form, Jesus came to this earth, lived a life in which he never sinned. So at the end of his life, when he was murdered and he was put on a cross, he had no sin, so he wasn't able to die. So in order to die, he took your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and my sin. And he paid for it with his death. All of the sin of the world was put on his shoulders. He says, I will take your sin and then I will die to pay for it. But this is what's so amazing. The righteousness of God so farly outweighed all of the sinfulness of man that it only took 3 days of death to pay for all of it. And Jesus came back to life. Yeah. How amazing is that? That the righteousness of God was so much more, what would have taken all of us eternity only took Jesus 3 days and all the sin was covered and paid for. And then he came back to life, resurrected, and said, when you die, if you trust me, you never have to pay for any of that. You come with me to heaven and you sit in my righteousness. That's amazing. Amazing. So what we see with baptism is what he's trying to connect the dots of this. He says, here's what happened. You used to belong to this old life where sin was kind of like the king of your life. I mean, that was really, I mean, it commanded everything. Some of you guys, you know this. Some of you guys have done things that you're like, why did I do that? I didn't want to do that, but I still did that. Isn't that a weird statement? You didn't want to do it, but you still did it. Must mean someone else is kind of in control, right? It's because sin was in control of your life. And you lived that life. And he says, you were a slave and you were bound from that and you were chained to it. So he says, how can you get out of a contract like slavery? He says, you can die. You can't have a dead man. You can't hold a dead man to a contract, right? It's gone. And he says, and that's what Jesus did. When you put your trust in him, what he did is he says, it was like you died that day when Jesus went to the cross. And that old life where you were bound and you were shackled, he says, you became a dead man. And all of a sudden, well, you can't really hold him to it. He's dead. He says, and then God gave you his righteousness and brought you back to life, to a new life in which you were set free from that old life where you were bound in chain. You were a slave to sin, and all of a sudden you were a free person to run this new life. You see, baptism is a symbol of this. And just that, a symbol. This isn't what does it. Baptizing someone isn't what takes somebody from old life to new life. Jesus coming into their life and them accepting that gift of salvation that Jesus did, that's what makes them different. But this is a symbol so that everyone else can see it and experience it. And here's what it's like, okay? It's like when someone comes into the baptism tank or someone goes to the river to be baptized, it's like they take their last breath of their old life. And we put them down underneath the water and it's almost like we hold them there till they stop kicking. Now, we're not going to do that today. Okay, I promise you, I always say that because people get scared. They're like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I trust Cameron that much, right? But it's almost like that old life goes under the water and it drowns there. And then all of a sudden, this new life springs out of the water. And you watch someone take a symbolic last breath of that old life, first breath of their new life when they come out of the water. And friends, that's why we cheer. That's why we go crazy. Because it is that, it is a new life. I was thinking about this and I thought it's so weird and this is kind of a strange statement, but you guys know me, I have a strange mind when I look at things that are spiritual. Here's what we get to experience this morning. We get to experience a simultaneous funeral and birth announcement. That's what baptism is. It's a simultaneous funeral of the old life and birth announcement of the new life. I don't know about you, but when you have new family, when someone calls you and says, the baby's here, don't you shout and cheer? Don't you jump up and down and say, right, someone just entered into our family. We got a new grandkid. We got a new kid. And it is the most exciting thing ever. And that's what we experience because it's a brand new brother or sister in our family. A new life that's born anew. And listen. We mean new. We mean new. It's not just like cleaned up. Like we don't put someone in here and this is like industrial strength holy water, right? Like, oh, you dunk them in there and they're good then, right? Right? It washes all that sin off. They come out and you know, tonight when they lay down in bed, they turn off the lights. There's a little glow to them. You can kind of see them across the thing, right? They turn out in the mirror. You can kind of see this light halo. It's just floating there, right? No, that's not it. The water doesn't make them different. Listen, baptism doesn't make them different because it's not as though they're just being cleaned up. We're not just giving them some sort of spiritual bath. That's not it. Paul points to the idea that it's not just like, oh, you're a little bit better. Oh, you're a little bit cleaned up. He says new, and he means it. Listen, in fact, what he says in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 17, explaining the same situation again to a different church. He says it this way, okay? Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. That same picture, right? If we died to the old life, right? Start a new one. He says he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Man, that's the case for so many of you, right? You used to have one picture of Jesus. Then you met him, and he looks a lot different, doesn't he? But here's the big picture. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. He doesn't say this means that they just start just like, you know, it's just a different chapter. It doesn't mean, well, now they're a little bit cleaner. Now they're a little bit better. He says new life, and we mean new life. Listen. I know people in this church that when we look at their pre-Jesus life and we look at their post-Jesus life, you're like, that's not even the same person. That's not even the same person, right? We know people that you start walking with them in their faith, and I've watched them fall in love with Jesus, start walking out their faith, and a few years later I look at them and I'm like, you don't even look the same as you did a few years ago. You look different than you did. You talk different than you did. You think different than you did. Some of you, you look back to that old life and you look and you go, who did that? Because that's not me. And you're right, it's not you because you have a new life. How great is our God? Listen, unlike every other faith, unlike every other thought where it's like, oh, God is good, you're messed up, try to do good so you can be like God. Christianity, completely different. Christianity says, you have stuff that's messed up in your life. There's no way you can fix it, which, thank God, we all knew that, right? We couldn't fix it. So Jesus says, I will come and I will fix it. And it's not just like every other religion that would also say, hey, on the other side of eternity, there's this eternal life that's waiting for you. If Jesus said that, that would be amazing. But he actually promises even more than that. He says, not only just the idea that I have eternal life waiting for you on the other side of this life. He says, I want to give you a new life starting today, here, and now. Yeah. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I have things from my old life that I will gladly take and leave in that water. That I will gladly leave behind and say, that was old Cameron. Then Jesus came into my life, and I started a new life, and I walked in a new direction. I don't have to be ashamed of all of that stuff in my past, because that was old Cameron. And then Jesus gave me a new life, and now it's my responsibility to use that one to honor him. But I don't need to always be looking back in the past and feeling broken and feeling ashamed for what I did, because God knew who I was, and he came and he rescued me from it because he loved me so much. And I can walk away from that, leave the old behind because the new has come. It's amazing. And listen, Paul writes that, and then the very next verses that he follows up with it. It's always important when you read something in the Bible, read before it a little bit, read after it a little bit, because they all usually connect. And right on the backside of this, he says, this is so amazing. People are made new. And the next verses that he steers into, they might be surprising to us of what he steers into next. What kind of flows out of that idea? Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 21, the very next verses. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. That's amazing, right? No longer counting people's sins against him. And he gave us, all of us, this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This is amazing. God invites everyone to new life. And then the very next verse that he steers into is, and how amazing is that? And if you have believed that, it gets even better. God has invited you to be a part of this rescue mission. God has said, now that you believe in me, now that you trust in me, I take and I officially make you an ambassador for Christ. That you are meant to walk in your life knowing that you are a representative to plead with those in this world, come back to God. Come back to God. Those who are lost, to find them, to bring them back, to remind them. God will give you a new life here and now today. And listen, here's what I want to say with this, okay? This is the greatest calling in the world. It is the greatest calling in the world, and for all of us who are believers, Christ is offering it to us to say, now that you believe me, step into this. And I will say this without any apologies. Give up other dreams in your life to make this your purpose. Let me say it again. Give up other good dreams in your life to make this your purpose. This is the greatest calling your life can have. I don't say that to you because I mean like, this is faith and this is serious and it should hurt and we got to sacrifice. No, that's not it at all. What I'm saying is God is calling you to a greater mission than you've called yourself to. He is saying, I know you think that's all you want. I know those goals and those dreams you have. You think that's the pinnacle. And he says, I have something so much more joyous and rewarding for you. I know you think it's getting this or building that or doing this. And he says, those are nothing in compared to realizing that as you live your life as an ambassador to Christ, listen, your energy affects eternity. Think about that. Not just building something here and now for 50 years, not just getting some things here and now for a short period of time. He says, you put your focus on me and you become an ambassador of Christ and your energies here and now, they affect eternity. This is why we do what we do. This is why we do teams. And we invite you to be part of building something like this so people can come in and experience Jesus. This is why we do groups, so you can be together with people, so someone shares their fears or shares their curiosities, and you can be there to encourage them and tell them, yes, absolutely, continue to ask those questions. No, I'm telling you, even though it's scary, Jesus loves you. He's got you. This is why we do kindness things in the community where we go out and we meet people right where they're at. And we say, we don't want anything from you. We want to give something to you because Jesus has given something to us and we love you. Friends, this is why we call you to sacrifice what your life is and say, I want to make my central focus being an ambassador for Christ, seeing people find new life. That's what it's all about. It means taking your life, which, listen, it's only made up of three things. It's really simple. You'd say, oh, no, my life is really complex. It's not. It's made up of three things: time, energy, and money. That's all your life is. I can tell you it is because all you do is just trade those three things over and over and over again. You trade some time for some money, or you trade some money for some time, or you put some energy into something and it gets better and it gives you more time because you figured out something. All you do is you rotate those three things and exchange those things for it. That's your life. And it means taking your life, your time, your energy, your money, and saying, how can I use these things to make Jesus more known in my family, in my community, in my world? How can I make a special portion of time to be able to serve God, to be able to focus in on him? How can I cut out time on my schedule, even though I'm busy, to make sure that God gets the best? How can I develop my energy so I'm not just excited about things of this world? I'm not just passionate about learning about stuff, about a hobby I have or something else, but I want to know more about God. I want to focus in and know more about this. If we knew as much about God as we did about guns, cars, clothes, decorating, the world would be changed. If that was our focus and we said, that's energy. And our money too, and everyone gets scared when we talk about money because money's what we live on, isn't it? That's what we live on. And we'd say, there's no way. Can we really trust God with our money? And we'd say, yes. The fact that God has given us something, and we even leverage that to say, I don't want my money just to buy things that last for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years and then rust or then rot or then burn. I want to put it somewhere that actually changes eternity, that our finances can have eternal impact when used to share the gospel. Friends, I invite you. Jesus invites you into the greatest rescue mission in the history of the universe. And he says, I'm going to change people's lives and I want you to be a part of it. For you who are getting baptized today, I'm absolutely excited for you. And Paul describes what this all feels like. Worship team, if you guys want to get ready for me, you can get up here. Colossians 2, 12 through 15, he explains this. He says, you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, right? Same picture, the idea of death and new life. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Friends, if you're getting baptized today, God is speaking to you and saying, you are set free from all of that old stuff, all of that old junk. That he says that the enemy that used to control your life, he says, he has shamed them publicly. You know what I always think about with that? I always think about a kid getting their pants pulled down and spanked in the Walmart, right? Embarrassed, ashamed, right? That Jesus says, I pulled down their pants and I gave them a spanking because they have no control over your life anymore. No presence. And he continues and says this. I love this in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Here's how he continues on. He says, since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Friends, he invites you to lift your eyes to a greater purpose. He invites you to say, I know you think this is it, but he says, lift your eyes a little higher. Look a little farther, because I have a greater vision than you do for your life. And not only that, but I love, he invites us into this rescue mission. He says, someday soon, I'm coming back, and people will celebrate my glory. And he says, when they do, you'll be part of my family. And I'll say, celebrate all of us together, because you're with me in this. You're my son or daughter. If you are getting baptized today, we are going to shout and we are going to cheer because Christ has brought new life into you. For anyone who's here, and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you've never really understood this, you just thought it was all religion, you just thought it was all following after Jesus, you didn't get that this actually made sense on a cosmic level, and you didn't make sense to you practically, and you realize it and you want to take that step, you can right now. It's about putting your trust in Jesus. It's not about doing a bunch of religious practices. Right now in your heart, I can just guide you in a simple prayer. You don't have to say it out loud. Right now in your mind, in your heart, you can just say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you, though, for dying in my place. Please become the king of my life. I want to trust you with my eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer inside of your heart and you meant it, listen, you can get up and be baptized today. Because baptism isn't somebody figured out everything and they're a perfect Christian. It's Jesus did the work he promised to do in me. Jesus is good and I'm celebrating what he did in baptism. That's what it's about. It's not about you having everything figured out. It's about you saying, I took a step of faith and Jesus promised to change me from the inside out. And listen, you can be baptized today, and I literally mean today. Today. If you just took that step, or if you're somebody here who's a believer and you've never been baptized because you always thought it was some religious thing, you didn't get this was just this Jesus thing and you didn't realize what it symbolized, you say, yeah, I want to do it. You can be baptized today. And I mean today. We have kits made up with shorts, with shirts, with towels, with whatever you would need. And listen, I'm telling you, with whatever you would need, no matter what it is, so that you have no excuse. If you say, I want to, but we got your butt covered. All right. We got your butt covered. You can be baptized today, this morning. And I literally mean it. Right now, we're going to have the worship team come out. They're going to lead us in a song. If you want to get baptized, you go out this back door over here in that back left corner. There's someone standing at the table. They'll get you set up. There's enough time for you to throw shorts and a shirt on. And you can get up here and you can celebrate what Jesus did in your life today. Today. Yes. For you who are believers, we cheer louder than everyone else. Because we know what new life tastes like. And you're going to shout and you're going to cheer with me. Pray with me now. God, we are so thankful for this day. We're thankful for an opportunity to celebrate the new life that you have brought about in these people's lives. I pray, Jesus Christ, that as we celebrate and as we cheer, these people would have this milestone in their life of trusting you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.